So we're in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to talk about some of the things that happened in that story in the book of Joshua. And the title of the series is Crossing Over. Crossing Over, because that's where the people of Israel were at that time. They were crossing over from one season into another. And I believe that's where we are as a church. I believe that's kind of where the Lord has us, that we were in one season and we're getting ready to cross over into a new season. And the first sermon I had a title for, it's just simple. It's The Promise. The promise. God had given a promise to the Israelite people. And if you'd stand with me for the reading of the word, we're going to read in Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 to 9. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law, to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lord, speak to us through your word. It is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, as it says in the book of Hebrews. And Lord, we ask you to move in our hearts, that it would take root and there would be fruit produced from it, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You could be seated. Man, I can feel the presence of God today. I really can. There's a lot of things that are mentioned in those nine verses, but there's two overwhelming themes that you find in Joshua 1, 1 through 9. And the first is that the Lord gives the promise to Joshua, and he says, I am giving you this land. He says, I am giving you this land. We find it in several verses. In verse 2, he said, go over this Jordan into the land that I'm giving to them, the people of Israel. In verse 3, it said, every place that your foot will tread upon, I have given you. In verse 5, it says, no man shall be able to stand, which means to station himself. So no man shall be able to station himself before you all the days of your life. In other words, the Lord has promised to Joshua that he would have a victorious life. That everywhere that he went, he would be prosperous, right? Can we agree with that so far this morning? Everywhere that Joshua went, he was promised to have victory. Everywhere his foot tread upon, the Lord said, you will have. It'll be yours. Everywhere you go, it'll be yours. And we look at that and we see promises like that. But how many of you know when a promise is given, there's still steps that we have to take? Can we agree with that today? When a promise is given, there are steps that we have to take. And the direction that God gives to Joshua in that passage, he says, I'm giving you this land. But then you find in verses 7 and the beginning of verse 8, what God's direction is to see Joshua inherit this promise. In verse 7, he says to be careful to do according to all the law and don't turn from it. In verse 8, the beginning says the book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night. So in other words, the direction that God gives to Joshua is simple. It says, obey my law. Notice a couple of things in that passage we just read. He says in verse 8, at beginning again, it says, you shall meditate on it day and night. How many of you know meditate in the original Hebrew of that passage does not mean the How many of you know that that's not what it means? The literal definition of the word meditate in that passage actually means to utter or to speak. So I'm going to use that word in its place, and I want you to rehear that once again. It says, but you shall utter or speak on it, being the law of the Lord, the book of the law. You shall utter it or speak it day and night. In other words, Joshua was to be consumed by the law of God. Do we agree?
Yes.
He was to be consumed by it. Now, many of you are probably thinking, we've read something similar to that, meditate on his law day and night, the last few weeks. If it sounds familiar, it's because it is. In Psalm 1, 1 through 3, it says something very similar when it talks about the comparison of the righteous versus the wicked. If you see in Psalm 1, 1 through 3, this is where it talks about the righteous. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And on his law, he does what? Meditates day and night. That's the same Hebrew word, by the way, exact same one. So he utters or he speaks the law of God, the law of the Lord, day and night. That person who does that, that person who utters and speaks the law of the Lord day and night, what's it say about him? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. How many of you want that promise? You know, you produce fruit, your leaf doesn't wither, and everything that you do, you prosper. How many of you would love that?
Yes.
What's the call? To meditate or to speak or to utter the law of the Lord day and night. To be consumed by the things of God in every moment of every day. Some of you are saying that's impossible. I would beg to differ. Now, I'm not saying that means you have to walk around praying and everything every second. But yet, what I'm saying is this. Every thought should be funneled through the mind of Christ in our lives, right? Can we agree with that?
Yes.
How do we do that? We dive into his word. We dive in prayer. And we connect ourselves with him deeper than we are connected right now. It's a pursuit of his presence daily in our lives. And as we pursue him and as we dedicate ourselves to him, as we meditate on his word, as we utter and we speak his word every day, more and more than the day that just came before, we will see his prosperity. We will see his care and his love and his mercy. We will see him take care of us in ways that are even unimaginable to us. He'll give us victory in areas of our life that maybe we don't think we'll ever get victory in because we've been fighting that same old battle for years. But where's the foundation of it? Being dedicated to his word. That's the foundation. Being dedicated to his word. I find something very interesting, and it's the word then. I'm going to reread verse 8, but all of it, in Joshua 1 and verse 8. Listen to how it reads again. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate, you should speak on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Listen to the end of that verse. For, somebody say then, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Notice that anytime there's a then, there's something before it. You know what I'm saying? Like if somebody says then, that means there's something before it. What was before the then? Being dedicated to the word, speaking on it day and night. Can we find how serious it is? This isn't just some religious obligation that we're supposed to do and feel good about ourselves because we ticked off our daily reading sheet. I would much rather you read a chapter and get something from it than finish the Bible in a year and not remember anything you read. Can we not agree with that? Think about that for a minute. So many times we have our religious tick sheet and we say, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. I did my Bible reading plan, and then you sit and you talk to people and you ask them what they read, and most of the time people can't even remember what they read 20 minutes ago. And I don't say that to be harsh. What I say is this, the intent that we have in when we read. It's not about just reading it, but it's about meditating on it. It's about sticking with it. It's about speaking it. How many of you know sometimes that takes repetition? Do it over and over again. Is it just some book you read through one time and then you put it on the shelf and don't read it anymore? It's daily communion with God. It's the foundation of who we're supposed to be. And that's what God was calling Joshua to be. He said, you guys are going into this season of crossing over. I have a promise for you. I have a promise for you that I'm going to give you this land. And if you will dedicate yourself to my law, if you will dedicate yourself to meditating, to speaking on it day and night, then you will see these things take place. Then you will prosper. Then you will have good success. You know, what I find interesting is that possessing God's promises, I believe this, possessing God's promises is not found unless we are obedient to him. I'm going to say that one more time. Possessing God's promises will not happen unless we are obedient to him. I'm going to say something kind of harsh, but very true. If you're living in sin, don't expect God to bless your mess. It's awful quiet this morning. If you're living in sin, don't expect God to bless your mess. Now, how many of you know he's gracious? I'm not saying you got to live perfect or you'll never receive anything from Jesus. Don't twist what I'm saying this morning. But a good example of this is this very story with the children of Israel. God's promises are true, right? We're going to talk about that a little later in this message. God's promises are yes and amen. But you find with the children of Israel that even though God's promises were true, they did not align themselves with God's promises. And how many of you know that there were many people who missed out on the promised land because they didn't align themselves with the promise? Moses got mad and hit a rock when he was supposed to speak to it. He didn't get to go into the promised land. The children of Israel themselves, none of them had said, "You don't get to go in, but your children do." Remember? Because of their griping and their sin. What did they do? They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't align themselves with the Lord's ways in order to receive the promise. So let's learn from the mistakes of the Israelites. Let's not wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Amen? Amen. Instead of griping about how bad things are, let's praise God for how good He is. We all go through stuff. Can you agree with that? You know, we've gone through this fast this week, and I won't share what I did and did not do and all that stuff, but anytime I fast, I go through it. Every time. Every single time. Without fail. And I'm not trying to speak something negative on my life, I'm just speaking facts up to this point. And this week has been one of those weeks where I've been ready to punch a wall and all kinds of goofy stuff. Just my anger's gotten the best of me at times. You know, my sarcasm has come out a little more than I would like. Listen, can we be real? Can we be real? How many of you know it's okay to be real? But even in life in general, not even just this week, but life in general, we can let the stuff that we go through tear us down and beat us up. But thank God that the time in the wilderness doesn't have to be permanent. Scripture tells us though sorrow lasts for the night, joy comes in the morning, right? That we don't have to stay in those places. How many of you know that when you align yourself with God, He's there? It's not that He's left. It's just that you've turned your eyes off of Him. Scripture tells us that. He said it to Joshua. You find it later in the book of Hebrews. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. God's with you. He cares. He's just wanting you to pay attention. And that's what I find in my life. And if we're all being honest, all of us, that's where we miss the mark. Is when we begin to focus on other things. Especially in the bad times. Especially when stuff's getting bad. We're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I'm having car trouble. I can't pay my bills. So-and-so's sick. We've been dealing with illness in our house for the last... Really, I feel like ever since I got back from Ireland. We're talking almost 2 months. And that's something to be overcome. And will be in Jesus' name. But I'm saying we've come into some things. We've had things come against us. But even though things come from the left or from the right, even though I know, just like Peter, there's a storm on the water on either side of me, I know that if I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk on water. I can do whatever He calls me to do. But the problem is our focus. Where are our eyes? Remember the old saying, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Come on, look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Right? Yes. Come on. In the light of His glory and great. Come on. Think about it for a minute. Think about it for a minute. Some of you young people, you don't even know that song. You're like, what in the world is he singing? But think about what we just said. And the things of earth would grow strangely dim. In the light of His glory. In the light of His glory. Listen to me right now. If you are not living in His glory, that may be why things are so dim. If you're not living in His presence, maybe that's why the world around you seems so dark. You know, I had people freak out when Obama got into office. My world was still bright. I heard people freak out when Trump was installed just the other day at inauguration. Guess what? My world is still bright because my eyes are not on man, they're on Jesus. Amen. And whether we like it or not, the Lord puts people in office. He allows it to happen. But I don't want to get political today. I want to keep the focus on this. Where are our eyes? If you're looking to man to save you, you will be failed every single time. If you're looking to me as a pastor of this church to do something extravagant for you, God can use me in different ways, just the same as God can use any of you in different ways. But hear me when I say this. If you're looking to me for anything special, your eyes are in the wrong place. If you're looking at anybody else for something special, your eyes are in the wrong place. Turn your eyes to Jesus. You see, that's what this is all about. That's what he's telling Joshua here. He says, listen, if you will obey me and if you will surrender yourself to my law and to my ways, then you're going to prosper and you'll have success. You'll have all these things I've given to you. But that wasn't the only promise that he gave to Joshua. He did say, yes, I will give you this land, but the one I like even better than that is he said, I will always be with you. He said, I'll always be with you. In verse 5, he said that I will not leave, so I won't withdraw from you, and I will not forsake or neglect you. Some of you here today feel like God is a God that has neglected you. That is false. I would say once again that if the world around you seems dim, I would say turn your eyes to Jesus and him alone. Not to man, not to motives, not to any plan that man could come up with. Simply turn your eyes to Jesus and you'll find the light again. In verse 9 he says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I love that. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. He promises that he will always be with Joshua. But what are we supposed to do with that? Now we talked about the first point, right? He says, listen, I'll give you the land. But in order for you to inherit the land, I need you to obey my law, live by it, right? What are we supposed to do with this? I will always be with you. The direction that he gives to Joshua is to be strong and courageous. I'm with you, so be strong and be courageous. What's it say in verses 6, 7, and 9 of that passage? It says, be strong, which means to be resolute, and courageous, which is firm or brave. So be firm, be brave, be resolute. Don't let anything change your way of thinking. Verse 9, don't be frightened, don't tremble, don't be dismayed or broken, but understand that the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And if God be for us, Romans 8, 31 says, if God be for us, who could be against us? How many of you know that we give the enemy way too much credit? How many of you know that he's not omnipresent? Satan can't be everywhere at once. If you didn't know that, you know now. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. That's only reserved for one, and that's God Almighty. Right? Don't give the enemy power that he doesn't deserve. If the Almighty God stands with you, if he's for you, who could be against you? If you don't know the answer to that question, the answer is nobody. Nothing. Okay? Nobody. We need to take courage in understanding that God is with us. But what I find awesome about this story is that this is actually God reminding Joshua of something that Moses had told him already. Deuteronomy 31. How many of you know Deuteronomy comes before the book of Joshua, right? How many of you know that at this point in Joshua that Moses was dead, but obviously he's speaking here, so he's alive. So we can agree this happened before what we read to start the message, okay? Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel. So Moses calls Joshua up, okay, in the sight of everybody in Israel, all of them. I'm bringing you up here. And look at what he tells him. Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. So basically, that's the first promise, right? You're going to take this land. God had promised, I will give you this land. Moses had spoken this in before. He says, listen, you're going to go, you're going to lead them, you're going to give them the land that was sworn to them by God, and you shall put them in possession of it. Verse 8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Does that not sound very similar to what we read in Joshua chapter 1. I believe that today, in and of itself, represents something for us individually and also as a corporate body. I believe that it's gotten us to a point where we've forgotten the promises of God. We've forgotten the things that God has promised us that we would have. We've forgotten the quote-unquote land that he has told us we would take possession of. I believe the Lord is reminding all of us, just the same way that he reminded Joshua of what Moses said. I believe that the Lord's telling his people today, don't forget the promises I've made to you. They're still valuable, they're still accurate, and if they came out of my mouth, they will come to pass. So why haven't they happened yet? One reason may be it may not be time yet. It just might not be time. Maybe you're in a season of waiting. Some of you here today, it's because you've been wandering in the wilderness. The Lord has been calling you to a specific place in your life, and for some reason, you just keep turning to everything and everyone else other than the Lord, and you're wandering in the wilderness. And that has been a roadblock to you receiving the promise of God because you've turned your eyes off of Him. You've turned your focus to other things. But I'm here to tell you, the promise did not die. The promise did not die. The only thing that needs to change is your focus, that you would turn your eyes back to Jesus. So what do we do with all of this? Well, I'm going to look at a passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 1:20. I'm going to read it out of the English Standard Version, then I'm going to read it again out of the Message. Please listen to this. For all the purposes, somebody say all. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. Now listen to what it says in the Message translation. Whatever God has promised, get stamped with the yes of Jesus. I like that. I'm going to read it again. Whatever God has promised, get stamped with the yes of Jesus. In Him, this is what we preach and pray. The great amen, God's yes, and our yes being Jesus, together, gloriously evident. So in other words, if the Lord has given the promise, then it will come to pass. You should have got more excited about that. If God has given the promise, then it'll come to pass. So stand firm in being obedient to the Lord. He'll cause it to happen. I have a couple of parting thoughts before we open the altars today. What do we need to do? First off, we need to understand that this is about God. It's nothing about our power. It's nothing about us earning, but it's about aligning ourselves. How many of you know we don't earn anything from God? He's a gracious God. But at the same time, we must align ourselves with Him. Get in line with what He's doing. Get in line with where He's going. Can we agree with that? Some of you are with me. Praise God. But we need to obey Him. We honor Him with our lives, and we put ourselves in position to see His promises fulfilled by being obedient children. We stand firm, and we don't let anything or anyone try to steer us from what God has set before us. And simply put, the last thing I would say is that we need to believe. We need to believe that God is who He says He is. We need to believe that God's promises are true. Even if you're wandering in the desert, or even if you're in a season of waiting, God is faithful. And if you'll keep your eyes on Him, it is guaranteed that He will do as He has promised. I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would.